Yeah, thinking that it happened overnight, it didn't. In it for the long haul flight, committed. Wanted me to fail out of spite, I didn't. All bark, but they don't bite, they timid. Thinking that it happened overnight, but it didn't. In it for the long haul flight, I'm committed. Wanted me to fail out of spite, but I didn't. All bark, but they don't bite, cause I'm timid. Look, I got people trying to wish and pray that I'ma fall about it. All about it till we spoke in person, don't wanna talk about it now, huh? Oh, you sound tough, toying with them, don't get wound up. How you wound up, another number in the round up. Put the town up, about to sing up from the ground up. And if I bounce up, I get my crown stuck. Green light go, got the east side flow. I'm a giant in the space like FIFA flow. All the kids.
Manufacturing. And I was working part-time, just kind of doing what I could to get my foot in the door with the business. And at that point, I think I was like employee number 5. So it was super early on in the business. And at the time, there's another group of people doing the touring, which they were traveling from mountain to mountain and doing some crazy stuff. And their social medias were amazing. And they're just traveling the country, kind of spreading the word of Gilson and trying to get the name out there. And I just kind of threw it out that if they ever stopped doing it, were interested in having someone else do it, then I'd be interested in going along and doing it. I mean, I was a small Pennsylvania guy. I was not, I've never really snowboarded. I was a skier. If I'm sadly, I'm like willing to admit that, I guess, but,
which, no doubt.
So I, you know, I was like, loved it and was interested in it, but didn't really have the skill set to do it. And then, the guy that was doing it separated from the company and decided to do his own thing. And the opportunity opened and I was hired to mostly drive the truck and trailer because of my diesel mechanic background and, help carry bags on the mountain, help the filmer carry extra camera equipment, help with demos and drive the truck and make sure things just be an extra hand basically. And
awesome, dude.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's when Josh and I were.
Oh, great, dude. Yeah. So that's rolling into this next episode of Let's Talk Snowboarding, presented by Mountain Vibes. We are joined by Tanner Spade and Josh Wortman, and we are stoked to have them on the podcast today. Tanner was just giving us a little bit of background about how he kind of started in with Gilson Snowboards. So we got two Gilson Snowboard crew homies in the house. So welcome, boys. Thank you so much for joining. And So Tanner, you know, feeding off that. So Josh, tell us a little bit about how, like, you know, when you met Tanner and the whole formation of like your guys' friendship and what you guys have built off that, you know, with Gilson.
Yeah, so it was it's been a pretty wild ride with Tanner. We have, I would say, almost a brotherhood, not even a friendship at this point. So building off of what Tanner said, you know, he was approached to go on tour. I was already one of the team riders for Gilson, and I was like one of the first 5 maybe team riders for Gilson. And I was out there just like visiting one year, making a board or something. And Ryan Palmer, the media director for Gilson, approached me and said, "Hey man, so the guy that was running tours before no longer is with the company. Would you be interested in going?" And I was like, "Dude, I'm in. Like, let me go home and talk to my work, but I am in." And so luckily my work was cool with it. And I think I came out there one more time after that. And that's when I actually met Tanner for the first time, I do believe, was the next time that I came out there. And then we didn't really like hang out. We talked a little bit at the house. You know, it was kind of like a frat house vibe there. It was just like they had a house on a hill. They had the shop out back and everybody would work, go straight to the house and party afterwards. So we just kind of hung out there at night. And then, yeah, I didn't even know who else was going to be on tour. I don't think I even knew Tanner was going to be there until he showed up at my local mountain in the truck. And that was basically how our friendship started, was living in a camper together for 5 months, traveling the country, and just the wildest experiences and the things that we went through were insane. Ryan Palmer, the creative director for Gilson, was there with us as kind of the filmer for the first year. And, but he only lasted, what, maybe a month, Tanner?
Yeah, maybe right around a month, yeah. And then he got hurt.
Yeah, he hurt his foot and had to leave, so, and like Tanner said, he didn't really even snowboard. This was like his first year snowboarding, and we're out west. Now he's got to film and carry all the stuff and learn how to snowboard. And we're like at the biggest mountains, just having a great time. It was insane. But I just watching the progression that man had, like his first year of snowboarding from when we first got out there until when we came home, like I couldn't even keep up with him in the trees by the time we came back that first year. I'm like, bro, what the heck is this? but it was the whole experience of tour was just, it was just the best, but also scariest time of my life for sure. But there couldn't have been two better people in my opinion to do it. Absolutely not.
That's awesome. You know, that's great to hear. And where, so, you know, Gilson started in Pennsylvania. Was this where you guys were? Was it Western Pennsylvania, or kind of talk about the mountains that you guys started off at? You know, Tanner, what was your home mountain growing up?
Yeah, so I grew up at like a local small resort, which was called Ski Sawmill in central Pennsylvania, which is a great little slope, like maybe 300 foot vertical. And Gilson was located, you know, not far from me. So it was probably a 45-minute drive to the mountain. And then when I worked for them, we started a relationship with Montage, which is a slightly bigger mountain, maybe 600 feet, vertical feet. But decent steeps, a decent park. And that's where I learned. I actually broke both my elbows the first time learning how to snowboard because it was the ice coast. So,
oh, man. Oh, yeah.
So when I went out,
I have so much respect for you, like East Coast guys. You know, like we get spoiled out here in the West, and we're like, oh, the conditions suck. But I'm like, dude, do you have any idea what the East Coast homies like ride on every single day? Like, come on now.
Yeah. I'm sorry. If you can ride on the ice, you can handle the snow, the powder of the West.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I grew up in, I live in Ohio currently. I grew up here. My home mountain's called Mad River. It is 300 vertical feet. It's about 20 minutes from my house right now. And I basically spent my entire childhood there. I was, you know, the kid at school that didn't have any friends. I sat by myself at lunch every day and did my homework. So as soon as school was out, I was at the mountain or I was at the skate park every single day, just grinding it out. And you know, my whole dream, my whole life, I was telling all of my friends and my family that one day I'm going to be a professional snowboarder. I'm going to do that. And I'm dedicating all of this time to it. And then as soon as we got picked to go on tour and we were out there just living that, it was obviously a dream come true, but there was definitely a lot of wild experiences that came along with it. And we went to, I think like the first year we went to what, like 32 mountains maybe or something that we traveled to. I have a list somewhere, but it was wild. Absolutely wild. Literally just filmed every day, partied every night, and then woke up the next day right back to the mountain filming, and on the weekends we were doing demos and just crushing it out.
And it's like, and a lot of people are like, how could you go to that many mountains back east? But you have no idea how many hills there are, whether it be in the Midwest or the central, you know, Ohio Valley or wherever, the East Coast. There's so many mountains, and that's why
they're small, but they're everywhere.
I know. And it's places like, you know, in North Carolina where Zeb Powell comes from, and the Midwest, and then Pennsylvania, Luke Winkleman, North Carolina, like that kind of area out there, like all these heavy hitters. Cause you can just get the reps when you have a small mountain, when you're hitting the park all day and stuff. And dude, that's funny. You said the Mad River. I got into fly fishing a few years ago, and that's literally the first YouTube channel that I watched was called Mad River Outfitters. And it was like a YouTube tutorial for fly fishing.
Yeah. So
I'm like, okay, that's the area he comes from on the Mad River. Yeah.
That's sick.
Heck yeah, dude. That's awesome. That's sick. That's awesome.
But yeah, so Tanner went up the East Coast first from Pennsylvania. So he went up to like Vermont and all those places, and then looped back down through Ohio, grabbed me, and then we just went straight out west. And I think the first year we started at Purgatory in Colorado, Tanner smuggled a tumbleweed into Colorado from Kansas or something, because it was the first one he'd ever seen, and we kept it in our camper for a while. And Purgatory was
amazing. I mean, I'm a small Pennsylvania guy. I at that time, I left Pennsylvania like twice to, you know, do little trips and stuff. I've never been out west, to say the least. So, for me, this is they handed me keys to a truck, brand new truck, and 76 Airstream camper, and said go. And you know, at that time is my first time I drove cross country. I picked up what turned out to be one of my best friends ever. And we were just kind of kids out in the road. I mean,
we had no clue what we were in for.
That's so cool, dude. Like, it's like, you know, it's like such a different perspective, because like I grew up here out west in Southwest Oregon, and I kind of traveled all over the West Coast, you know, with my family, like going around, you know, snowboarding at all these different places. And, and to hear like that, there's just so many cool stories like that. Like, you go up to Vermont and it's super, super sick. And it's like, but then as soon as you hit like, you know, that west, some of those Rocky Mountains and, you know, the Western United States, it's just a whole nother world. It's just like,
yeah.
And I think a lot of people that have lived out here and have like, you know, maybe grown up out here, they take it for granted all the time. But
oh yeah,
I see, you know, I see the rest of the country. I see the rest of the world. And I'm like, dude, you are so lucky that if you get the chance to like be out in this area. I mean, like Pennsylvania and, you know, the Northeast, like so beautiful, so beautiful. But when you see those mountains for the first time that are, you know, 14,000 feet up in the air, you just like, dang, dude.
Unreal, dude. Unreal.
It's gnarly. Yeah.
My first time seeing the mountains, I was pulling a Airstream over the mountain passes, shitting my pants.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
a 40-foot Airstream at that, and 3 feet of snow with no snow chains.
Oh my god! Legitimately, like no guardrails. I didn't understand that at first, and I mean, I pulled a trailer, but never crossed a mountain pass. So it was like. Yeah, it was bare knuckling it and hoping to like live on any bit of skill I may have behind the driver's seat.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, go for it.
Yeah, we had like a relatively loose-ish schedule. We had like a schedule of mountains we had to be at on certain dates. And then in the meantime, we kind of just did our thing. Like sometimes we would stay at one mountain for the week. Sometimes we had like a few extra days. So there was at one point we went to, I think we were going from Summit County in Colorado down to Crested Butte, but we had like four days to get there. So we took a little detour and visited one of my friends, Alex Swecker, up in Aspen. And that ended up being like one of my favorite times of tours that we went on, because Swecker was or is the head chef or the sous chef at the Little Nell there in Aspen, which is like a 5-star incredible restaurant. So, and he's never eaten there. And we went to go visit him. He took us there for dinner and they literally treated us like we were kings, bro. Like they gave us one of everything on the menu for free. They gave us every dessert for free, a $5,000 bottle of wine to drink. And then when we were done, they took us down in the wine cellar and it was like, they had like dull red lights on down there playing like 90s hip hop. And any celebrity or professional athlete you could think of had a signature down there, like the Wu-Tang Clan, Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan, like all these crazy signatures. Snoop Tanner Dog. And I ended up signing it down there too. It'd be cool to go down there and check that out again sometime.
Yes.
It says Tanner the Hammer right under Snoop Dogg.
Shout out to Alex Spider. What a dude.
Oh my gosh, that's insane, dude. Like, yeah, it's just, man, Aspen's like just on a whole nother level. It's,
yeah,
I've never
seen so much plastic surgery in my life,
right? Yeah, Yeah, dude. Like, it's one of my dreams to get, like, go to X Games and, like, have that experience at some point. Yeah. Dude. Same, like, bro. Especially same. Now, it's just, like, X Games, like, it was so cool this year. I don't know if you guys, like, noticed that and stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
How it's kind of changed. Like, it was kind of not the greatest for the past, like, few seasons, but this season, dude, like, they let, like, the actual people who should be talking about how we should be broadcasting snowboarding and doing these events, like, they listened to, like, Craig McMorris and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
And it seemed like it was ran by snowboarders.
Yeah. So, Mountain Vibes trip to the X Games next year? Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, dude. That would be, I mean, we got to talk to Justin.
How sick would that be?
See, how sick would that be? Insane. That's what, I mean, that's the goal, dude. Like, we've been to Dew Tour, you know, many, many times. And, you know, Dew Tour is awesome, too. But, gosh, dude. What a networking scene it would be at the X Games, honestly, like for both, like absolutely. For Mountain Vibes and for Gilson, like that would be, and I know you guys have done stuff, like, I know, like, I don't know if David Half Cap King was sponsored by Gilson at that time, but, you know, having him go to, like, something like that and, like, putting stuff out there and doing big things like that, that helps the brand just so much. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Big time. He's a cool dude. I love that guy. Super cool dude.
Such a nice guy. Yeah. Just like a very open, like anybody's like, yeah, I couldn't even believe, like, I got, you know, you guys came up to Schweitzer. And I want to talk about, like, that experience a little bit, because that's, you know, that's where I am up here in North Idaho.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And had, like, you know, I saw, like, you guys coming. And so I was like, David, you know, do you want to do a podcast? Do you want to, like, go ride out for a day? And he's like, of course, dude. And so we rode for, like, half a day one day. And then the next day I was up, he was like, yeah, let's do the podcast. And so just threw it together and stuff. But yeah, just like, what's that experience? Like, I know you guys, like, enjoyed yourselves up here, but what did you guys think of, like, the area up here? Because it is it's very unique, and it just has so much access to so much cool stuff, like, surrounding it and stuff. Like, what'd you guys think of it up here in North Idaho?
Go ahead, Tanner.
I didn't want to cut you off. No, we loved it. Yeah, we loved it. Sandpoint is a cool little town where it's like you get the beach vibe, but it's surrounded by the mountains that, you know, we love and live for. I mean, Pennsylvania is nothing but mountains, although it's smaller, it's just mountains. So it was neat to see, like, an in-between of that. And I personally saw a lot of, like, the same vibes as here in PA. The people were super nice and inviting, and it felt like home in a way. I liked it a lot. Yeah.
My wife and I fell in love with it immediately when we got there. And also, can we just mention that Tanner got engaged out there when we were there?
No. Nice. Congratulations.
But yeah,
thank you.
Crazy.
Schweitzer and Sandpoint, amazing, dude. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And yeah, I mean, that's a perfect way to describe it, Tanner. It's like a beach vibe, like, if you ever make it out here in the summer, that's exactly what it is. Like, everyone's coming up to go boating on the lakes, and there's just so many lakes. There's endless amounts of lakes up here, and they're just majestic. Like Priest Lake. I don't know if anyone mentioned Priest Lake to you guys when you were up here, but Priest Lake pretty much just sits directly west, northwest of Schweitzer. Okay. And most of the time you can't see it because you just can't. There's clouds and stuff in the winter and stuff, but it's like, it's just an amazing, just jagged mountains surrounding it. Pristine lake, you know. But yeah, dude. Yeah, it's pretty awesome up here. My wife and I have really enjoyed it, but let's get back to you guys and some of the adventures that you've been in with that truck. And the Airstream, I want to hear from both of you, like, what's your gnarliest, like, situation or story that you've like, whether it be something that was just like out of hand, like what sticks out to you most that like is the biggest memory from like any of the trips that you guys have been on? That's like,
Tanner, oh, can dude, I go first?
Remember that
can
time?
I go first, please?
Go ahead.
Okay, so this is gonna kind of a long-winded story, but it is insane. So, we were at, let me start with the second year we went on tour. We had the first year we didn't have any shower or anything like that. The second year, Tanner installed like a propane heated, like camping outdoor shower in the back of the camper, and literally day two, we're like at a Walmart in a parking lot camping for the night in like Kansas or something. I'm like, bro, I'm gonna take a shower real quick, test that thing out. I hop out of the shower. Next thing you know, the whole back of the camper is on fire because the freaking propane line from the shower came off, ignited itself, and it was just spraying fire everywhere. But we got that situation under control. Anyways, so we're out with now no shower. We're in at what was that? Powderhorn in Colorado, which I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but it's like secluded way out in its own area. Like the closest gas station was like 45 minutes to an hour away. Yeah. Beautiful mountain. One of the most beautiful views I've ever seen from a mountain, but it's way out there. No cell phone service, nothing. And we're out all day doing, demos and, we finish up, get back to the camper, turn the heater on so we could, you know, dry off, warm up a little bit, and the heater doesn't work. It's minus 40 outside, and we have no heater, and we're in a 1976 Airstream camper. So we're like, all right, so let's pack up real quick. We'll head to Walmart, which was like a little over an hour away, grab a heater, come back, and we'll be good. So we had demos to do super early in the morning, but we hopped in the truck, drove out to Walmart, grabbed like this big electric like heater thing, brought it back. Now it's like almost midnight. We plug it in just to find out that the generator we had wasn't powerful enough to power this heater, basically. So we're like, okay, great. We'll deal with this another day. We got to get to bed because we got demos at like 6 a.m. or whatever. And so it is literally minus 40 outside. We're both fully prepared to just die. Like we went to bed that night saying our goodbyes to each other. I'm not even joking at all. Like, we said our goodbyes, fully prepared to freeze to death that night. I'm on the top bunk. Tanner's on the bottom bunk, like, across from me like this. And to both of our surprise, we woke up the next morning somehow freezing. Every liquid in the camper was frozen solid. There was an icicle coming off of the faucet in the sink. But we had to get up, put our frozen wet. What's up, Tanner?
We went to bed in our full snow gear. Let's note that. Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Like, we were wearing snowboard boots and all. We were wrapped up. Like, we wore everything we had because we knew it was like whatever temperature was outside, it was going to be colder in the camper.
Yeah.
And so we put our like frozen wet stuff on, went to the demos, whatever. And we didn't know what to do. So we just dealt with it for 4 days or whatever while we were at Powderhorn. We knew that the next mountain we're going to was going to be Purgatory again, which is close to Durango, so we'd be closer to a town and we'd be in better shape. So we almost froze to death for this whole week with no heater. It was miserable. I think actually at one point we might have went back to the Walmart and got heated blankets, and we got back and mine didn't work. But we did not snuggle. We were fully prepared to die before we snuggled. But so the following weekend we drove down to Purgatory. We went to a like a hardware store and picked up a Mr. Buddy like indoor propane heater. But the propane heater was only rated up to a certain altitude. And the guy was like, "You should probably get a carbon monoxide detector just in case," because we had a pretty big heater in this little camper. So we did. And so that night we're like, "Oh, finally we got heat, sweet!" So we turned it on. Turned on the carbon monoxide detector, go to bed. Not even an hour later, the carbon monoxide detector is going nuts. And I'm like,
"Oh no,
motherfucker." So I had to get up, turn the thing off, and I'm like airing out the door, you know, and back to bed, still freezing. I mean, it's still like minus 30 out down there. And so after like another night or two of just dealing with the cold, we kind of agreed to just say, you know what? I would rather die of carbon monoxide than I would of freezing to death, because at least carbon monoxide, we're just not going to wake up. We don't have to worry about it. So I took the batteries out of the carbon monoxide detector and we just left that thing on. And we did that for almost a week. And I was waking up, like I said, I was on the top, and I was waking up every morning with a bloody nose, bro. Like I was on the verge of dying from carbon monoxide every single morning. Every single morning. And then we, there was one morning where Tanner went outside to take a piss, and he's like, Josh, come out here. And I go out there, and he's like, look at that. And our dumbasses set the generators up where the exhaust was facing the hole in the side of the camper that the heater came out of. So the exhaust from the generator was going right into the side of the camper, and that's where the carbon monoxide was coming from. And that's what was almost killing us. We turned it around and never had another problem after that the whole rest of the trip.
Oh, yeah, dude.
100%.
Oh.
Big shout out to those guys.
The liquid death.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that the plain one?
Oh, yeah, dude. I only fuck with mountain water.
Yeah, the mountain water is the best. Yeah.
I like the mango one, bro. I'm a big fan of the mango.
Oh, yeah? You know, I've tried a few of those, but they're all good. Like, everything is good. The carbonated water and all the flavored ones, but man, nothing hits like these ones. And I got my a couple weeks ago, I got my wife hooked on them too, because I just brought a case home from Walmart.
Nice.
She's like, what's hell this? Yeah. And she was like, damn, that's good.
It's the best, bro. My wife last year got me a set of the Liquid Death cornhole boards for my birthday, and they are so sick.
Shout out, and shout out Josh Nishimoto, Mountain Vibes rep. At Gear Pilot on Instagram. Homie went sober a couple years ago just because he felt like he wanted to, and he just rocks at the mountain. He rocks Liquid Death all day, every day, all of them.
That's sick, dude. That's the move. Yeah, that is the move.
Dude, yeah, for sure.
The beers on the slope is no joke. It can like pull you in before you know it. It's like you had 12 beers during the day. You're just vibing with your buddies and like having a good time. It sneaks up on you.
It do be like that sometimes.
Yeah. I've heard that talked about on You Love to Hear It. I don't know if you guys have seen that podcast with Casey Willax.
I've seen his YouTube stuff, but I didn't know he had a podcast. Yeah. That's cool.
So he started a podcast, and it's really good. Like I would put it up against like It's Coming Up. Like I watch it all the time, just like I would watch the Bomb Hole. I tune in for it. So, but him and his homie Daly, you know, he's a big party guy. You know, he loves to go out and have fun, and they talk about it all the time. Like it's just like you get sucked in sometimes, dude. Like you're out there with the boys. And it's vibing, and you're just like, and like chair beer, bro. Like, and that's kind of how it rolls. And And I mean, to a certain point, you know, but like, it is a little bit of liquid courage if you really want to go sendy that day. So
it is. I got sucked into the legal weed out in Colorado my first trip out, too.
Oh my God. Yeah.
We were in Purgatory, Colorado, and they have what they call the beach, which is like at the base of the mountain. They have lawn chairs set up. It's just a party, and we're doing demo. Yeah, and we're doing a demo, having a good time, and we're just vibing some locals, doing what we do. And he hands me this little muffin, and I'm like, sick. Yeah, I'll eat some of that muffin. We'll eat the whole thing.
Dude,
not a good idea. I went to bed. It put me out. Like
Josh at 11 a.m. demo. He's gone.
Yeah. I couldn't talk. I was like,
this was the very first day of the first tour. He just straight went to bed. We packed the demo up. We got back to the camper. We're like getting in our beds, and Tanner just pokes his head out, like, hey guys. You ready to party? We're like, no, we're going to bed.
Tanner got overstoked.
Immediately.
Yeah, I did.
That's funny. Dude, yeah, so, I mean, we were talking about, you know, the, the craziness of the Airstream trips and stuff. And, you know, we kind of got a little bit cut off in the middle of Josh's story. Josh, is there anything else that you wanted to just say about that experience? Because dude, that sounds gnarly with nosebleeds.
I don't know how
night.
We survived, but I blame that on why I'm so dumb now. I lost a lot of brain cells that week, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But that was pretty much the end of that story. There's a lot of them, though. I'll let Tanner build off that.
Yeah,
to the next
Tanner
one.
Is. Is it the weed muffin, or is there you got something else?
No, we were like talking a little bit here, and there's a bunch of them. I mean,
yeah,
Purgatory's a sick mountain. The weed gummy or the weed muffin's definitely something to be warned about. But like, just the fact that we're two East Coasters out there, we don't really know what winter is. I mean, East Coast winter, it gets cold, it gets icy, but it's not. We've never seen -50, you know?
Yeah.
So for us, like that, I mean, most of our closest to death experiences were just that. It's learning the cold and not knowing what to expect and like not being
prepared severely.
Yeah. Nobody, first of all, nobody camped during the winter in 1976. So the idea we chose that camper was a terrible move. Like, off the start.
Not well insulated.
Dude, laying in bed, in my bed, I could feel a breeze in my bed at night through the camper walls. Like, it was no joke freezing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'd say the scariest situation for me, the Powderhorn Mountain one, terrifying, but we were in Montana. We just got into Montana, and we heard they had hot springs. And we're like, well, we need to go check out these hot springs. So, Josh, and help me out here. Was it called Chili Willies? What were the hot springs called?
No, it was Wild Willies, and it was in Mammoth.
Okay. Yeah, the weed gummies obviously had something to do with this.
Chili Willies.
Well, Wild Willie's hot spring, so we're like, let's go out, let's watch the sunset in a hot spring. How sick would that be, right? So we pulled in, and it was like just along the main highway. So we just pulled off the road, and we hiked in. We brought nothing with us but a towel. Did we bring towels? Yeah, a towel and a couple beers. And it ended up being like close to a mile walk back into where this hot spring was, just in the middle of a field, like between the mountains. It was
in like knee deep snow almost.
Yeah, yeah. It was a sick view. We get out there and we hop in this hot spring, and it's like hot, but not nearly as hot as we were expecting. It was like maybe 90 degrees, right? So slightly colder than our body temperatures, but it was sick. Well, as soon as the sun went down, shit started to get real, real fast. So it, like, we realized at the longer we're in here, the colder we're getting. And the sun is going
down. We're, like, shivering inside the hot spring at this
point. We're,
like,
shivering in the hot spring. We're getting cold. And the sun's going down, and the temperature's just plummeting. Like, it might have been, you know, 5 degrees during the day. And then the sun went down, and it just started plummeting. It was, like, below zero before the sun even got behind the mountains.
Oh, yeah.
And we're in there, and we're slowly getting colder, and we're like, dude, we have over a mile walk back. And,
and we brought nothing but beer.
Nothing but beer.
Oh, Nick.
And we know that, like, you can't run when it's that cold because your lungs will freeze. Like, we were kind of stuck in this. If we stay in here, we're going to die because it's getting too cold. But if we get out, we're going to die because it's too cold. So we decided, let's strip naked, just put our outer gear on, and just hope, right? So we did that. We left everything there that was wet. We put just our outer gear on. I was like walking, like with my mouth underneath, so I was breathing like the hot air coming off of my body. And we just hiked fairly quickly, but without running, over a mile back. And we were,
I don't know how
I've
I made
never
it.
Been I've never been so cold in my life. Like, we got back to the camper and we were so close to death. Like, I'm saying, I was shivering uncontrollably. My fingers were numb. I had my hands in my jacket. I was breathing like this. We were so close. So close to not making it.
I think our underwear and shit is probably still at that hot spring.
It's still there. It's still there.
Yep. Yep.
Mine was literally there now.
and this was, you said this was in Mammoth?
Yeah, it was a Mammoth Mountain. Oh, it was at Wild Willy's Hot Springs, and there were two Chili Willies in there for sure.
Yep. Dang, dude. That's just crazy. Oh, man.
It's a wonder we survived the whole time, honestly.
Oh, yeah. What you do to live the dream and go.
It was worth it. I will say, the view from that hot spring.
State to state and.
6 out of 6
worth. Party and sell snowboards.
Yeah. There was actually one time we were, Tanner, I'm going to tell the swipe story I got to. I'm sorry.
Dude, we set ground rules before we started.
No, go ahead. I told him I wasn't going to tell this story, but I got to tell this story. We're in the thick of it now. So this was in Montana, in Bozeman. And this was the second year we had a female filmer with us and then a female, like, athlete that Gilson flew in from Europe. I think she lived in France or Italy or something. She was like a big mountain rider, whatever. But the filmer, her name is Chrissy, met this guy and she was like, yo, her dad or his dad's in like a punk rock band and they got a show downtown tonight. We should go check it out. So we're like,
oh boy.
All right, whatever, you know, we're in. So we go down there and it's in like the upstairs of a VFW in Bozeman. I'm pretty sure it was Bozeman, maybe Whitefish, but I'm pretty sure it was Bozeman. But so we got there, we're like watching.
I'm pretty sure it was in Reno.
Maybe it was. I don't know. I don't remember. The details don't matter.
I remember pretty clearly, my friend.
You guys have, dude, we got to do another episode, dude. Yeah. We got to get more. This is
we have endless
awesome.
Stories, bro. So we were up there watching this show, right? And it was like punk rock, but it was like these old men and they were like, oh, fuck scooters. We're skateboarders. And we're like, this is weird. You're 80 years old. But anyways, the opening band, the guitarist had like this big old mohawk and or whatever. That doesn't really matter. But we're like in the hallway waiting for Chrissy. She's in the restroom and we're like getting ready to leave, pack up and get out of here. So the dude with the big mohawk from the first band comes out in the hallway and he's like bullshitting with us or whatever. And Tanner bends down to tie his shoe. And I swear to God, this fucking mohawk guy sticks his hand straight down Tanner's pants, like underwear and all, bare butthole, swipes up it with his fingers, looks me dead in the eyes and goes, and Tanner just jumped up, gone, took off, he's gone, never saw him again. And I'm just sitting there like, what did I just witness? What was that? And so we got to go find Tanner, where he's like 5 blocks away on a park bench, like, oh man, what just happened? I'm like, dude, we got to get out of this town. This got weird so fast.
Oh my god, that sounds more like Reno.
Yeah, it probably was.
It was definitely Reno. Man. I remember.
It was the weirdest shit I've ever seen in my life.
What am I
That's
gonna
crazy.
Do? I'm in the upstairs of the VFW in Reno.
You did like, the right thing.
You should.
If I hit the guy, I'm going to die. I can't hit him. And at this point, I'm just like a snowboarding pie that weighed like 145 pounds. I would have died.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I told Tanner before this that I wasn't going to tell that story, but I couldn't just not tell it. I'm sorry.
Well,
RIP to Tanner's butt.
And for that reason, I can't go to rock shows in BFWs anymore.
Yeah, that's valid. Oh man. Well, yeah, guys, dude, that's classic, dude. I loved it. That's a great story. So
it's not.
Let's I mean, it is and it isn't.
It is.
Oh man. So you guys, what do you guys see like Gilson going in the future? I know you guys have been, you know, kind of on the map for a little bit, you know, recently, and in this modern era that we live in snowboarding, like there's a lot of people pressing boards. There's a lot of people doing outerwear, you know, you kind of have a wide variety of choices, in regards to like what you want to do. Like you can, like there's endless options now, like it, whether it be with boards or boots or out or hard goods, soft goods, like it's just crazy what you want to be. And so like, what is Gilson, what do you guys think is going to be like the next step for you guys as far as like what Gilson's going to be doing in the future?
Yeah, I guess I'll go first because I'm a little bit more connected on the manufacturing front. I think the number one thing is continue to show how competitive we are on the board manufacturing front and the ski front. I mean, the processes keep getting smoother, they keep getting better, they keep getting stronger. There's a very real reason for the three-dimensional base that everybody questioned, the whole industry questioned that off the start, and it's just getting better and progressing, and we're starting to see some real response from that. So I think number one is continued growth in that, and the sales show it, and they're the fastest growing snowboard company I think in the world at this point. So they're going crazy. And yeah, I think number one thing is keep progressing the board itself. The custom graphics are a sick addition to that. And I think at this point, like they could be what they are without that. And the fact that they're still doing it at the size they're at, it just shows you like the following is cult like. I mean, anybody that rides a Gilson continues to ride a Gilson. Like they love it.
Yeah. I mean, it was insane the amount of people I saw at Schweitzer for your, you know, for your ride days. Like, and they were there every single day. Like, I saw Gilson boards everywhere. Like,
yeah, we took over the mountain. Took over the mountain.
100%.
That's so sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's so dope to have, like, a community like that. That's so, so awesome.
And I think, unfortunately, sorry, Josh. But unfortunately, the factory burnt down. And the fact that we were able to bounce back from that, and not just bounce back, but come back even stronger. And they're adding presses, they're adding a bunch of infrastructure points that are just going to take them to the next level. So I think with just the snowboarding front and skiing front, not to undermine those, the skis are dope. I think there's some serious promise in just that aspect of things.
Very cool.
Yeah, I gotta agree with that. To build off the point of, you know, the trip that we just took out there is like, not only do they build like sick snowboards and skis, and I've been riding for them for 8 years now, like since the beginning. When I started riding for them, they didn't even have graphics on the boards yet. And to see the growth that they've already done since then has just been unreal. And they've always been about, you know, like we can make a board just like everybody else, but how do we do it differently? How do we make it better? How do we improve the technology? How do we set ourselves apart? And that's where the three-dimensional base and stuff came from. But then I think the next chapter of this is the experience that they're offering people with these trips is like, you can buy one of our boards. You're probably going to love it, but we're also going to offer you guys, you know, like a week trip to a sick mountain to hang out with the whole team and some of the pro athletes and the owners. And you don't get that with other companies. Like that in itself 100%. Is a huge selling point. And you saw the stoke, you saw how stoked everybody was just to be there hanging out with all of us. And it makes me super thankful to be a part of this great thing that Gilson's doing, because you literally order a board and you're not happy with it, you call customer service, odds are you're talking to Nick Gilson. He's going to answer that phone and ask you what the problems are and what he can do to help, because that's the kind of guy that he is. And that is also another big thing that sets them apart from a lot of their competition, is like, they just have that personal touch on their stuff, not to even mention the dope ass graphics that they have and the technology in the boards that makes them unlike any other snowboarder skis that you can buy. It's just, it's actually unreal. Just like I said, to see how far they've come over the last few years and where they're going now with the new factory and all the new technology they have and all the space they have to grow. And it's just, it's super cool to be a part of. Absolutely super cool to be a part of.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. And that's how I felt when I got into Mountain Vibes and how I still feel to this day. Like, it's a family, it's a community. We all look out for each other. We're all looking out for each other. You know, I've made it my personal mission to like kind of build the branch up here in North Idaho and kind of have like almost like a content factory coming out of here and like recruit those riders that are laying it down super hard and stuff like that. And like you guys doing what you've done, like going to mountains and taking it over, and you guys put in like the grassroots effort, like with your Airstream stories and all that stuff. All that stuff is snowboarding, dude. Like,
yeah,
that's what it that like, get in trouble with your friends, like pushing the limits and doing all that stuff. And then, yeah, you know, we get older and wiser, like the homie Russell Winfield always says, like, you get older and wiser, and like, you're still a snowboarder though, to your core, till the day that you die. If you are a part of this sport and you're part of this community, then that's who you will be. And that's it. It will never change, because those who do it know what it is. And they know that it's 100%. A life changer, dude. Yeah. It changed my life. And it's awesome to be supported by a lady who, you know, loves the, I have that passion and stuff. You know what I mean? And like, Josh, you can attest to that. Tanner, I don't know if you have a lady in your life, but.
Well, like Josh said, I just got engaged. And
that's right.
And within 2 weeks of dating her, I took her to Vermont to learn how to snowboard, because if she's going to be with me, then she's going to have to know how to do it and love doing it. So
yeah,
luckily for her and me, she did find enjoyment in it and wants to keep doing it. So she can
stick it out great in Schweitzer. She did great in Schweitzer.
Yeah,
she did.
Yeah. And it's always, And you know, I feel very fortunate to have a lady who, you know, I'm able to do the podcast and, you know, work with Mountain Vibes and stuff like that. My wife is she's a nurse and she's a big timer, and, you know, she snowboards, you know, when she can and stuff. But, you know, just the fact that the support and everything is always, it's always awesome. So, with that, dude, let's get into a little bit of, rapid fire questions I want to ask you guys. Okay.
Sure.
So we'll let's just go back and forth, and I'm just going to go. So for you, is it skate or snow?
Me?
Yeah. Josh.
I'm going snow all day. Snow all day.
Tanner?
Yeah. Snow.
Snow.
Being in central Pennsylvania, skate wasn't even an option, so we had cinders on the roads and potholes, so skate was dead.
Though this dude does like downhill off-road unicycling in the mountains, like a mountain bike guy would, but on a unicycle, which is insane.
That sounds gnarly, dude.
I don't know if I'm more embarrassed about that or the butt swipe story, but sure.
All right.
No, you shouldn't be embarrassed about that. Sick.
Josh, you rocking pants or bibs?
Bibs all day.
Tanner?
Yeah, bibs also.
Okay.
Pants East Coast, but bibs out West Coast.
Got it. All right. Some East Coasters, goggles or glasses? Josh. Ooh,
that depends on the day. If it's a bluebird day, glasses for sure. If it's snow, and goggles.
Oh yeah.
I'm sunglasses 90% of the time.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Very cool.
With the helmet.
All right, Josh. Power slush.
Here out east, slush all day. But if I'm going out west, I'm staying in the pow.
All right, Tanner.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with that. If it's slush here, it is one of our best days.
Yeah, literally.
Awesome. Okay, Josh, if you could pick three people to go on a backcountry heli trip, all-time conditions, who would you pick?
Oof. I'd go with Tanner for sure. He'd be number one. One of my absolute best friends, Meech Woodson. Shout out to Meech. He is a absolute trip on the mountain. And you know what? I'd take you along too. I think we'd have a lot of fun.
I would do my best, bro. I would do my best. Tanner, how about you, bro?
I mean, I'd have to bring the people that got me started in this. And Mr. Jay Wortman over here. Mr. Austin Royer, who's co-owner and founder of Gilson Snowboards, and Nick Gilson, who brought me in, and 2 weeks working for him, and I went to his bachelor party. So,
dude,
there's no
that's fair. Shout out to the boys, dude. Shout out.
That's fair.
Yeah,
all the boys.
Hell yeah, dude. Okay, guys, one final question before we wrap this up. Let's go with Tanner first. Tanner, what's your perfect day of snowboarding look like?
Perfect day of snowboarding is all the homies. I don't care if we're in the park or in the powder, but everybody's vibing, everybody's going big, pushing each other to do things that we shouldn't be doing, really. And yeah, ended with a couple brews at the base with a couple babes.
Awesome. Josh?
I gotta say about the same, bro. All the homies out ripping. Everybody's having a good time. Usually those are the best days. I'm a park rat myself, so if we can get some park laps in on a bluebird day with all the homies, perfect day.
Good crew, good conditions, good vibes. That's all I ever have.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
For sure. Well, boys, Tanner and Josh, thank you so much for joining the podcast. I just want to say thanks. And let's go ahead and wrap it up. So we're going to be bringing you guys more episodes.